Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air, broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. Bob Getty and Dima Mixon, we're glad you're with us. Opening segment of our show today, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to cater your next event, whether it be large or small. Church, home, party, whatever. Dickey's does a fabulous job of catering, and that would be the place I would call if I were you. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Colton Cowan is the head coach of women's golf here at Southern Miss. And on the day after the big news about the men's team, women had a great year too. And we're going to have Colton in the studio here in a little bit to talk about that. But first, this show, of course, covers sports. But we know that sports are just sort of a entertainment source for all of us. Real life sometimes takes center stage, and last night was one of those examples as bad weather came through the Pine Belt and created a lot of damage and a lot of heartache for many of our friends down in Purvis. Michael Mergens is in the studio with us. Michael, of course, is the operations manager here at Super Talk and helps with the Eagle Hour a great deal. And Michael, you and your wife Teresa and your daughter Piper, you live in Purvis. You were showing me pictures when I got to work this afternoon, and you came close, so tell us what you experienced last night.
Too close. By the grace of God, we didn't have any damage, but I showed you a picture. A house a block from us has a huge oak tree that just split at the base and fell over. There are oak trees all around, huge water oaks that have been uprooted completely. It seemed to have gone just a little less than a mile from our home. And the damage, though, it has caused is immense. We lost power, but it got pitch black. This is actually the fourth tornado I've been through, but I've never seen one where it just got this black outside. And it was like a fireworks show finale with thunder and lightning, just nonstop, boom, boom, boom. And then the sirens started going off. We got into our center bathroom in the house and just waited. And then the power eventually went out. When we felt it was safe, that's when we went out, and I immediately could smell pine. So I knew something hit. Went back in to get my wife and daughter. We went back out. That's where we saw the tree down. And while we're standing in our driveway, kind of kitty corner, there's some woods. And crack, a huge branch comes down, knocks down the power lines that are running in front of our house, which we went straight back in the house as soon as that happened. But yeah, it was it was bad, but only 4 injuries in Purvis, 17 total with those storms. As of now, no deaths, so it's just, it's a miracle. But looking, roofs destroyed. If you've watched the news, you've seen the drone footage of those apartment homes over by the state hospital.
Yeah, put in perspective where it came through Purvis, Michael.
So it's just on the edge of the city line on 589, just west, northwest of town. So it went through the former Waterflow Productions. It went into the industrial park where also the shelter is located. In fact, right now, the county is asking people to stay away from the shelter because there's so much damage. Quite a few buildings in the industrial park were completely leveled. Recommended Collision, who advertises with Super Talk, there's an old barn located right across the street where you turn to go to Lamar Christian School. A lot of people kind of sneak in there to take photos regularly because it's just a beautiful location, completely gone, and all these oak trees all around it. And again, just uprooted. I expect them maybe to be broken in half like what we saw in town, because that's where we live, is right in town of Purvis. And a lot of homes around us had huge branches that had just been split. Mm-hmm. But coming into the station this morning, that's where you see just completely uprooted trees, and I didn't realize how bad it was.
Right, and that's not from the ground being saturated. That had to be from wind.
Yep, yeah, that's how bad it was. So it's at the minimum, and of course they've got crews down there checking everything and analyzing, and you can't tell by radar or anything what a storm's Fujita scale rating is. That takes the crews going in days after looking at the damage. At the minimum, this has to be a 3, looking at those
now,
trees.
Remember, you're on the Eagle Hour, so don't use big words like that. It confuses us, right?
I apologize.
Well,
the
I mean,
F scale.
Yes. I mean, yeah, just tremendously terrible situation for not only here in Purvis, but also our friends in Brookhaven as well. They were hit by a pretty bad tornado. I know that, you know, my sister-in-law lives in Bogachitto, so that was exactly where it was over there. Of course, it didn't hit their house. They were a little bit north of it. But, you know, for all the people who are affected, man, it's scary stuff. I mean, of course, my house is a little bit north of Purvis. It's all 589, but it's a little bit north of Purvis. But, man, it was some kind of lightning show, you know, and it was kind of it kind of came in waves. You know, the first one, I think when the tornado at Purvis hit, was like from about 6:45 to 7:30. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you had another one at like 10 o'clock, and then another one at 11:30, then another one at 3.
There
I mean, there were so
lightning
many.
Lightning flashing out in Bellevue last night.
Yes.
And we had all this predicted. And of course, when people are reporting on these storms, you tend to be great. You know, it's just, it's rain, it's thunderstorms. But this is why you need to take it seriously. Yep. And obviously people did. Now, I saw some posts where people complaining that they didn't hear the sirens. In town, that's where the sirens are. Those were going off. Now, if you're out in the county, they don't have sirens, so they probably weren't hearing those. But the sirens went off, and you just look, again, those apartment homes and the roofs completely destroyed and some of them leveled. But then on the outside, there's homes that weren't touched. Mm-hmm. Their roofs are fine. And it's just amazing how these
storms. Your house is one of those.
Yeah. I mean, I expected, and again, we've got 3 huge oak trees that I would love to have taken down at some point because of their proximity to our home, our neighbors' homes. And it's situations like that. And that's what I was thinking of. We're in the bathroom. It's like all it takes is one of these trees to go down. And I expected all these branches and that in our backyard and nothing. But yet our neighbors and down the street, just incredible damage. Mm.
Well, definitely a shout out to all of the, you know, weather people around here, such as those on WDAM, who's friends of the show and things like that. You know, they always do just such a terrific job of saying exactly where the tornado's going, exactly what time, you know, your city is going to be affected or your little district is going to be affected. And so shout out to them, because I was at Temple last night for Wednesday night church. And I know my wife works there as one of the girls ministry coordinators for youth. And, you know, we had 600 high school students in an auditorium, and then the tornado siren goes off, and you know we're trying to figure out how to get them all downstairs and all these things, but we were able to figure it. We were able to figure out where the storm was and see who was affected and things like that. So just those kinds of things are just vital to have on your phones, and they do a great job.
Were there people in the storm shelter at Purvis?
As far as I know, yeah.
When it got torn up?
Well, luckily the shelter isn't damaged, but a lot of the structures, because you have
around,
a lot of those,
right,
yeah, those metal pole buildings all around there for warehouses and that, a lot of those got damaged. So the way that the roads are, was lines still down and with trees down, they're just trying to tell people to kind of stay away from there. And of course, going through and working for Super Talk, I was tempted to stop and take pictures this morning on my way in, but you could tell that they were overwhelmed trying just to get cars through and get all this cleared out because, as you said, those storms didn't stop. So it hit Purvis. We had some clear skies for a little bit. And then it started back up again, which made it difficult for them to get out and clean it up.
Well, thank goodness no one was killed.
Yes. Plus. It's a miracle. And there'll be more photos on social media, I imagine. You see those photos and the damage. It is, again, by the grace of God that no one was killed.
I know you and your wife study the weather a lot. Why are we having so many tornadoes in South Mississippi?
It's not unusual. There's just periods where it seems to get ramped up, and that's based on a lot of the weather conditions nationwide. Either El Nino or El Nino can affect that. But, of course, the Purvis tornado and the namesake for the mascot for Purvis.
That's why the school's named.
Yeah, I believe it was 1918, tornado. Of course, you didn't have the alerts that you do now, but it's not unusual It's just when it happens because of more modernization.
We just hear more about it.
Yeah, and it does more damage nowadays too. That's why.
I mean, I remember the one that hit Hattiesburg in 2011, I think, you know, something like that. And it's a very similar situation where it was, I mean, widespread, you know, destruction.
Well, me and this guy,
and there was no
that,
deaths.
Because the next day we got in one of the station vehicles and we met a lady down here. Her, remember, her and her husband had just moved here.
Yeah.
And they spent the night in the corner of their house.
That night I drove up here to the station to broadcast, try to get on the air, expecting, because everyone kept saying the high school got hit, Oak Grove High School got hit, expecting to see our big glass windows blown out. And after the 2 hours it took from getting to Purvis to here because of the traffic, trees being down, station was fine, power was on, so I jumped on the air with any alerts and info.
And the tornado went right in front. I'm looking at where it went right across the street.
I was at Temple and saw it come down and hit Oak Grove High School.
Yeah. Michael, I'm just glad you and Teresa and Piper are all okay.
Yes. Well, thank you. I appreciate
and,
that.
And, you know, our prayers for everybody who lost their homes. Yeah. I can only imagine how devastating that must be. But we're glad you're good, my man.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back, everybody.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Appreciate Michael coming in and giving us that update on that really bad situation in Purvis last night. And then Dima brings to my attention similar in Brookhaven.
Yeah, really bad tornado that went through. I think it was east of Brookhaven, or northeast of Brookhaven near Bogachitto. So, you know, my sister-in-law and her husband, he's a pastor at one of the churches out there, and they said that they were out searching for people all night last night. So just terrible situation.
Well, that's one of the positive things, man. People step up and help their neighbors and friends. And you saw both sides of life last night. You saw the worst, which was people losing their homes, and then you saw your sister-in-law bring a new baby into the world. And as we were saying, you're about 90 days away from having your own, and there's just nothing better than a brand-new baby, is there?
You're right. Yeah, my sister-in-law, who I just aforementioned there, she's also pregnant, as well as my wife, and they have their baby like a month and a half apart. So she just had hers yesterday. It was a beautiful baby girl. Everything looks great, and congratulations to them.
God, I love babies.
It was amazing to watch. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing gift from God that we get to.
I say that sincerely. It's just nothing like a brand-new baby. All right, Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the program. We appreciate all they do. Now, remember, they sell Goodyear tires, but they also sell a number of other brands, and they can get any brand tire you want. So if you've got a truck and maybe you're a fan of another brand besides Goodyear, you ask those guys about that. Toyo, Continental, name it. They'll get the tire for you, get the wheels for you, do the work for you. They're great guys, and they're big Southern Miss supporters at Eagle Tire West, and we're really grateful for everything that they do. Also want to thank our friends at Forest Health. I'm sure they were in action helping people last night. They're always there. Keep up with your favorite team. That's fun. But remember, you're the most important player, so you be sure you get an annual physical and take good care of your health. If you run into issues, the people at Forest Health are there 24/7, 365 to help you with expert medical care closer to home. All right, Dima, this is a big day for softball. We've talked a lot about softball. They've had a really good year, and they have an opportunity to continue in the postseason tonight.
Absolutely. They first pitched tonight, 7 p.m., to start the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, and they're going to be playing South Alabama in their opening round, the 4-5 matchup. This is a Jaguar team that they just played 2 weeks ago, actually, at home, which they swept. So you kind of like Southern Miss's chances here, but as we've well documented with this Sun Belt tournament, it is a single elimination, which again it's just kind of hard to believe. It is single elimination. I guess they just do that just because, I really don't know why they do that, Bob. I don't even know what the reasoning is for that.
Why would you even think about doing that?
I don't know. I mean, could you imagine if the baseball tournament was single elimination? Now I know like the SEC tournament is, but they have way more teams. They have a 14-team conference, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
is that a single elimination tournament?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I think they just started doing that a couple of seasons ago. But anyway, so softball in action tonight against South Alabama. And I'm going to pull up the full bracket here so I can tell you exactly who Southern Miss would play, theoretically, if they were to win that game against against South Alabama. So, yeah, so the Louisiana Raging Cajuns beat Troy, so they're going to play the one-seed ULM, and that's in Southern Miss's side of the bracket. So if Southern Miss wins tonight, they will play the winner of ULM and the Raging Cajuns. ULM is the number one seed tomorrow. And then if they were to win that, they'd make it in the championship game. And, of course, if they were to win that, they would win a berth to the NCAA tournament, which
wouldn't
would be,
that be something?
One of the first. I'd have to go back. Of course, I don't know off the top of my head, but, I mean, it would have to be the preferred 10 years, you know, since that's maybe happened. Maybe 15.
Maybe back to the days of Courtney Blades. So
I don't know. It may
go way back.
It could. And, of course, I'm sure you mentioned this yesterday, but just congratulations to the golf team. I mean,
absolutely,
for them to make the tournament. That was announced yesterday, the 11th seed in the Athens Regional. So, congratulations to them. I don't know if you were able to see the video on Twitter of them hearing their name selected. It's special to see.
I saw a lot of cool videos last night. I saw that. I saw the videos of the kids at William Carey, the baseball team, and the softball team. Mm-hmm. When they got their announcements that they were going there. It's fun to watch that. That's what those kids work their tails off for, and that's a reward, you know. And what a reward for the golf team, Dima.
It really is. I mean, and for such a great season, too. And, of course, it didn't go their way in the conference tournament. But they'd put themselves, with all the wins that the coach was talking to us about on Tuesday, I know with all the things they did, they put themselves in a position to win that situation. And, it's going to be great. I'm excited to watch it. Of course, I love golf. I want to watch exactly what's going to happen. Sure. I think that tournament starts next weekend out there in Athens.
So. I want to take you back to softball for a couple
sure.
of minutes. What do you think is the biggest difference in this team and the previous teams that Natalie Poole has put on the field?
You know, I think we nailed it, Bob. I really do. This team came into the conference play confident. They didn't have a losing record. They didn't have, getting blown out by, Arkansas's, the Penn States like they were in recent years. They came in with some confidence. And this is a young team, needed that confidence. And that's why Coach Poole told us that when we had her on the show, in the beginning of the season. We talked about her schedule. It wasn't necessarily that she was just, putting in all these bad teams on there. She just wanted to see what her team could do. And it's turning out they can do some really good stuff. And then in conference play, they just started getting rolling. They got good pitching. They got great hitting. And like we said, this is a young team. And this is going to be a team that's going to return a lot of this next season. Mm-hmm. So even if this season doesn't end with what they want, which is a tournament championship, they're going to have a lot back next season to really build on what she's done this season.
Up until their coach left and took the roster with them, Louisiana was a really national level women's softball program. They just hardly ever lost. But I gather Monroe is good, but there's not a team as dominant in the league as Louisiana used to be. So does that give everybody a real shot at winning this thing, you think?
I think so. Of course, ULM's been good, and Southern Miss played them, and I think they took a game against them. But Bob, I mean, with the way that the game of softball and baseball works, single elimination, anything can happen.
Yeah.
A ball can bounce the wrong way, and you lose on an error. I mean,
man, that's rough, man. I mean, single elimination.
It's, it's really rough. And that's why people are going to say the SEC has single elimination. It's like, okay, but like 10 of the 14 SEC teams are getting in the tournament. You know, like really, I mean, they don't really have to go to Hoover. You know, yeah. The only teams that are needing to win there are teams who are on the bubble, hosting
that's
bubble.
Right. That's right.
But like, this is like one person's getting in, one team's getting in. Right. You should at least give, you know, them equal opportunities here. But I still think that, you know, Southern Miss has a really good chance. They got a really good, starting pitcher. Who we've had on this show before in Hannah Christian. She's a good bat. Neely McManus has been just tremendous for them over the last part of the season. Kinsley Gordon-Sively, who I know Kelly interviewed last week, she's been, you know, coming along. This is a good softball team. So let's just hope that they can kind of get some rolling. And right now, I mean, with the way they put themselves in the position, they only have to win three games. That's it. It's a weekend series. You just got to sweep.
It'd be like playing just a weekend, going and playing for the weekend. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, well, good for them. We'll obviously have an updated score. It's funny what you said about SEC teams. It reminded me of what Mark Etheridge said the other day from D1. He was talking about he didn't think Ole Miss would host if they finished 15-15. But I guess on the other hand, if you finish 15-15 in the SEC in baseball or softball, you're a lock to play in the pro season.
Yeah. Yeah, you really are. it's pretty funny. But and then, you know, if you finish one game above 500, you're like in the hosting discussion.
Oh, you're almost definitely going to host if you finish a game above 500. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
All right, baseball chartered out this morning. Happy to see that the guys didn't have to I was thinking about that last night, Demon, when I was laying in the bed wondering if the roof of my house was going to blow off. That thank goodness the guys don't have to get up in the morning and traverse this kind of weather to get to New Orleans on an airplane. So good for them. That should help this weekend, wouldn't you think?
It really should. I mean, you don't have to worry about, you know, travel with the weather. You know, you don't have to worry about if your connecting flight's gonna get, you know, I flew to California last week, and Kari and I, my wife, you know, we were running through Dallas's airport to try to get to our connecting flight because we were delayed out of New Orleans. Like, you don't have to worry about all that, right? And so it's a great thing to get to do that. And it's a long trip. It's an oddly long trip for one of your last weekend series. And you know, as Stats McGee, you know, talked about yesterday, and as Mark Etheridge talked about Tuesday, this is an important series if you want to keep that hosting discussion. And I'm sure we will preview that series on the next segment. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch.
I think to be sure you're going to get a regional. My view of that has changed a little bit. I think they have to sweep these last two series.
You think so? I don't think they have to sweep the last weekend just because it would be a home loss. But I think
you cannot lose this weekend, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Reverse that. If you lost one this weekend, it wouldn't hurt you as much as you lose one next week.
That's exactly right.
Right. So, but of course, you want to just go 6-0. I mean, if you know,
solves all the problems.
That solves your problems. And then I think if you go 6-0, you're heading into Montgomery with really not a big sweat. You know, unless you were to go 2-0 in barbecue, which I doubt would happen.
So if they won 6 in a row, man, you could just kind of chill back at Montgomery in 2 weeks a little bit.
Hey, I'm excited, you know. Yeah. We'll get to, now, of course, if we have Jack Duggan on, I'm going to listen to some Hank Williams before that show starts.
I would advise you to do that. Well, you know he's going to be on. That's a tradition.
Okay, good.
He has to be on. Okay. John will be with us Friday. Those
great
are traditions.
Love
but
it.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Dima said he had never heard of Hank Williams. Jack threw his headsets on the table and said, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I didn't have a credential for the next tournament after that.
So. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the Southern Bank Core Studio here in Oak Grove. Bob Getty and Dima Mixon. This segment sponsored by DBAT down there on Hardy Street. Great beautiful facility, state-of-the-art training facility. Adult sports, every sport, baseball and softball for kids. They got batting cages. They've got running tracks. They've got expert people down there to help you be the very best you can be in the sport of your choice. So give them a shot at D-Bat on Hardy Street. And if you want to do some work this weekend in your home, in your lawn, in your garden, well, there's only one place you need to go, MCS Home Center. That's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West. Beautiful, beautiful store, and it just couldn't be a nicer guy on the planet than Hank Lott and his great family and staff. So please do business with MCS Home Center. As we mentioned earlier, men's golf headed to the NCAA National Championship Tournament for the first time in history, and congratulations to them. There's another good golf team on the campus. That is the women's team. They're coached by Colton Cowan, who's with us now. And, Coach, welcome back to the show. And I know that you must really be happy for Eddie and the guys on the men's team.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. And I couldn't be more ecstatic. I think one of the cool things during the interview process for Southern Miss was how involved Eddie was in the interview, kind of talking to him. And I don't think there's anybody that I've come across that has been able to say a bad thing about Eddie, and getting the opportunity to work with him the past 2 years. I can see why. He's such I don't know if there's anybody that works harder than he does. He cares about student athletes. He cares about the donors. He cares about Southern Miss. And he works his tail off to provide our student athletes, not only his men's side, but also our women's side, our student athletes, with everything that we need to be successful, and bouncing off ideas, practice ideas, qualifying ideas, you name it. It's been a true partnership on both the men's and women's side. I know last year he was our biggest fan going into postseason, and vice versa. Everything that he's done for past, 8 years now, 9 years, mm-hmm. he's really continued to develop a really good golf school, and we're just finally starting to see a lot of fruits of that labor, and could not be more happy for him and what they've been able to accomplish.
Put in perspective, Coach, the significance of what those guys accomplished yesterday.
So that is a great question. And so ultimately, I'm not sure how long Southern Miss has had a golf program on the men's side. However, with it being the first time in school history, that has to show a lot of significance. I know there's been a lot of great teams. There's been a lot of great coaches, but the opportunity to go represent Southern Miss in postseason at regionals has never been done before, and it's something that that can no longer be said on that side. And top 60 within the country, I think for the most part within their season, they finished top four, top five in every tournament that they played, minus a couple. I know they hosted down at Fallen Oak. That tournament is basically a national championship every year. So just played consistently throughout the year, competed at a high level from August till now, and it's just shows the recruiting styles, the recruiting and the processes that they've been able to do consistently all year. And like I said, it's the first time ever in school history. So it's pretty remarkable. And as he's been pointing out, for the first 2 years we've had this Giddes Center, we've now had both teams represented at regionals, and that's not by chance, continuing to provide our student-athletes with everything that they need to be successful. And it's been... Yeah, it's remarkable.
Yeah, I was about to say that, Coach. I mean, you guys obviously won the tournament last season, the Sun Belt tournament, and then went around and competed in the regionals. I wanted to talk to you about your team this year, though. Of course, came up eighth in the Sun Belt tournament, but I mean, you have to feel proud. You had a pretty young team and still competed very hard over the last season.
Yeah, it's definitely didn't quite meet our expectations. And those expectations were set very high based upon the results from last year. But it's just understanding the dynamics of college athletics. We had three that graduated. Two of those were within the team last year. And we had two that were still two returners that competed for us both years. And everybody else was basically new. and kind of new to competing, understanding how to compete, understanding the pressures that there is in the heat of competition, knowing how to respond to all of that. And like I said, the results aren't what we want it to be, but I think the processes and a lot of really good foundations we were able to lay for this year to kind of continue to build on the success and the culture that we need to get to the level that we want to get to.
Talk to me about some of your players. I know that Fernanda, right? Is that how you pronounce her name? She was really good for you. Taylor Tribble, of course. We've heard her a lot, you know, covering your team. So just talk to you about some of your players this season who had great years.
Yeah, absolutely. So Fernanda, interesting enough, she really didn't really peak till this past spring. When I first got here last year, just really struggling with her game, really struggling more on the mental side than it was anything else, more kind of self-inflicted. And so it was really cool, but she worked as hard as anybody to overcome the swing flaws and start doing the mental stuff to get herself comfortable being uncomfortable in competition. And the opportunity for her to represent Southern Miss in her last semester of eligibility, just it's kind of one of those cool coaching moments to seeing all that hard work pay off, seeing a lot of the dedication and time and seeing a lot of the fruits of her labor. And she's about as good as we could ask for coming in that spring. And she did her job, but like I said, starting off very slow when I first got here and working as hard as she could just to earn that spot to travel. It's really a testament to who she is and what she's going to be able to do in the real world. Taylor Tribble, kind of that same model a little bit. I know she competed a little bit with Lucy, competed a lot last year and competed a lot this year, and she's just that steady force. She was one that you knew was just going to show up and compete, wasn't going to give you a super high score, and had an opportunity to give you a super low score. So kind of allowed a lot of stability within our lineup, a lot of stability within our top two and three, and you know she was just going to go out there and do her job. I think Luis as well, Luis being a sophomore, she had a stroke average of 73.1 this season, which puts her just behind Momoka Ando in the lowest stroke average in school history. And so she's kind of like one of those, it's interesting, she's one of those sleeper players where not going to go out there and do anything crazy impressive, but just not going to make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. We almost call her a robot. She just goes out there, plays golf, plays her game, and you don't really have to worry about her either. She's just going to go out and play, and you just got to make sure she stays hydrated and eats well and just kind of stay out of her way. Within some of our newcomers, Liv Romer and Savannah Van Galen, they're kind of cut from the same cloth, very talented individuals, hit the golf ball a long ways, and so much potential, so much talent, and just continuing to refine their skills and continue to teach them to compete with that right mindset, not getting fixated on results, not getting fixated on any outcomes, but just on our processes and everything that we can control. And same thing with Morgan Guapé. She played a lot in the fall, didn't quite play as much in the spring, but she's still kind of that same foundation. Very talented athlete, and just continuing to refine to get to the level that we want to get to.
By the way, Bob, when he says we don't have to worry about her playing golf, that means just a couple shots over par. So if he ever watched me play golf, he would be like, "Yeah,
He'd be worried.
That's right."
Hey, Coach, we'd be all hands on deck. We'd be out there. It's like, all right, let's make sure he makes all the right decisions possible. Make sure he doesn't have any dumb decisions. Yeah.
He's open for free lessons.
Yeah,
now, Coach.
Yeah, free lessons. Okay. We should know.
He's open for that.
And Coach, if you ever need somebody to show them how not to do it, you have my phone number.
So. You know, I think there's times to where it's beneficial for them to realize that this game is as difficult as it actually is. So I may be calling you early fall just so they can see how difficult this game is.
We know how difficult it is. That's why we don't believe for one second that Kelly Sander plays golf. He claims that he does, but I cannot see that body twisting around and hitting a golf ball. Hey, Coach, we really appreciate you. We're really proud of both you and Eddie's team, and you guys are just doing a great, great job representing the university, and it's always our pleasure to bring attention to the sports that we don't think get the attention they often deserve, and We sure thank you for your time today, Coach.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me on, and yeah, thank you guys for your support.
All right, Colton Cowan, everybody, the women's golf coach. I wanted to get to this next bit of news Dima broke to me, but we'll wait till the other side of the break when we do our wrap-up segment. We can also talk a little bit about the upcoming baseball games, but we've got tomorrow to do that. But Dima has just – man, if you love basketball, you're really going to like this news. I think –
I don't know if you will.
I think overexposure at this point could possibly be the word.
Yes.
Hey, Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of our program. Genesis sedans and SUVs are all at the exclusive Genesis dealership on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Kevin, Mr. Grubbs, great Southern Miss supporters. And don't forget about our Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's available on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Final segment coming up.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. In the broadcasting business, they call this a combo. If you've got gold and silver laying around your house and you need some cash, then you take that gold and silver to Jewel Masters on Highway 98 West, because nobody knows more about the value of gold and silver than Marty Vick. Nobody's been buying it longer than Marty Vick. And no one will give you a better price for your gold and silver than Marty Vick at Jewel Masters, Highway 98 West. Don't be fooled by the Johnny-come-latelys. Marty's been doing it longer than anybody, and that's your best bet. Then you take the cash that you make from Jewel Masters, Dima, and you go down the road and you eat a buffet at Movie Star Restaurant, where you can choose from catfish, fried chicken, meatloaf, you name it, baked chicken, let me just think, fried okra, beans and cornbread, peas and cornbread, just dessert. How about banana pudding? Wonderful. They've been doing it for 25 years at the Movie Star Restaurant. They're right here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. We can see them from the studio, and we know that you'll have a great, great meal if you take your family to Movie Star. All right, Damon, news and notes.
Well, let's start with what you teased a minute ago. The NCAA men's and women's basketball committees have officially voted to expand the NCAA tournament from 68 to 76 teams, which On3 is reporting. Matt Norlander had it first, and he's with CBS Sports. So pretty big news there. That would obviously increase the length of the season. Let's start with that.
It's not long enough.
No, definitely. Why not just make it 100 teams at this point?
All right, well, so here's my question. How many teams is that adding to the current tournament?
8.
All right. Is that good news for the small schools? Does that mean more small schools get in?
No, absolutely not. That's good news for all the teams who are on the bubble, such as Auburn, Texas, or whoever else was on the bubble who didn't get in this year. Mm-hmm. You know, there will be some schools that will be beneficiaries from it, such as, you know, the Miami of Ohio's, who was undefeated before the losing in their conference tournament. They did get in, but they'd be probably, quote-unquote, safer in with 78 teams. But they're not, like, increasing the number of teams that get auto bids from conferences, or just extending the at-large bubble.
So largely that just means more SEC, ACC, Big Ten teams get in the tournament.
Yeah, Bob, of course. Why would you think anything different?
Why would I? That's exactly right. But they need the money, Dima.
Don't they? And also it was being reported that the college football playoffs committee seems to be expected to release a decision which would expand the playoffs from 12 to 24 teams.
Next year?
This year. 12 to, once again, 24 teams, which is doubling the size of the current playoff.
So let me ask you the same question. Is that good news for the Southern Misses and the Northern Illinois of the country, or more good news for the SEC, ACC, Big Ten?
Well, it would depend on how they would determine who gets the auto bids, because I've seen a lot of like formulas for those bids being that they would give the 10 conference champions automatic bids, then the next 14 are at large, mm-hmm. which I think I would be in favor of that. You know, mm-hmm. then it would affect Southern Miss, because you win your conference tournament, you're automatically
in. The Sun Belt champion would get in.
Correct.
That would be fair.
I think that would be fun. But there's also a case to be made to be saying, we're going to leave it as it is, and we're going to just add 12 more at-large teams, and then Southern Miss will never be affected.
Why do I think that's the way it's going to be?
Am
I just a pessimist? Is that?
Well, let's not forget Notre Dame's crybaby fiasco about not getting in the tournament. And now, guess who's number one in the advocation for expanding this tournament?
I'm going to guess Notre Dame.
Oh, where's your ding?
Yeah, Notre Dame. Boy, you just can't get enough money for some of them, can you?
It's crazy.
You know what Notre Dame did was pretty shameful.
It's disgusting.
It's so unfair to the seniors on your team, too.
I just don't know how you can go into a room. And, of course, for those who don't know what we're referencing, this is when Notre Dame did not make the playoffs and then declined to accept their bowl invitation.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you can go into a room as a head coach and say, listen, guys, you know, as men, this is how we're going to respond. You know, we're going to go down there and play that bowl game or whatever. No, he went in there and said, you know what, we're defeated. We're done with this season.
Yeah, we didn't get our way, so we're not going to meet our obligation to go play in a bowl.
And shout out Kirby Smart, because I remember I'm old enough to remember about two or three years ago when Georgia didn't make the tournament, the playoffs, and they played in the Orange Bowl against whoever they were playing against. Every one of their players played. They didn't have a single opt-out.
Those days are gone.
Those days are gone.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
That was the purity, I think, of college athletics.
Yep.
All right, got about 45 seconds left. Team on the way. We'll talk more about the baseball tournament tomorrow, the baseball series, I should say. I got the tournament on my mind. Golden Eagles really need to go win all three games.
They really do. It'd be nice. And, of course, if you get a pitching performance like you did last weekend, it shouldn't be a sweat. But, obviously, if Ostrander was sitting in this studio right next to us right now, because Kelly's definitely not here, if Ostrander was sitting in the studio, he would say, listen, to win this weekend, we got to touch home plate a few more times.
No, he's right. He's right. What worries me, and I love the baseball team, I don't need to prove that to anyone, they just seem to play close no matter who they're playing.
They really do. And that's kind of been the mantra of this team for the whole season. I mean, I can only think of about three or four games where they just, like, blew out somebody.
Yeah. And Mark Etheridge said as much the other day. He expects Southern Miss to win a lot of games down the stretch, but he expects them to be close.
Which in some ways is good, because you start to develop that how to win close games.
Yeah,
but it would be nice for us fans not to have a heart attack every single time we play a baseball game.
Would be really nice. To maybe just sit down and enjoy the meal while you watch the game.
Right? How about 10 runs in the first inning of each
win? That would be pretty nice for a change. All right, we're back here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We thank you every day for listening to our program. Very glad that no one was killed in the storms last night. And our thoughts and our prayers to the people that lost their homes.
Softball tonight, 7 p.m. It's on ESPN Plus.
Well, I'll be tuned in.
There we go.
Southern Miss to the top.
Like an eagle now to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.